with me over to Luke chapter 8, and I have the wrong pair of glasses, so I'm going to make one more trip down here. Luke chapter 8. We are looking at what Luke is doing with the story of Jesus in the Luke Acts sequel and the picture he's painting for us. And we have noticed there's been an emphasis again on people that consider themselves Jesus' enemies. And we've had teaching from Jesus about how to treat enemies by loving them and caring about them. Last week, we got a chance to look at a story where Jesus went into the home of somebody that would consider himself an enemy and taught him a lesson there because he couldn't recognize the need and the presence of a woman that he didn't feel good about. So we, in the midst of this, we're going to look at Jesus' first parable. Now, we've already had a sermon by Jesus. We looked at that, the Sermon on the Plain. And now we're going to look at a parable. And it's going to tell us why Jesus speaks in parables. And guess what? It has something to do with enemies. And we're going to try to work at what it means to apply that parable to our lives. So in Luke chapter 8, we see some things that are unique to Luke. The parable is not unique, but before that, in verse 1, he says, after this, after his time at Simon's house, Jesus traveled about from one city and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, first we've heard of her, from whom 7 demons had been cast out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Luke is the only one that mentions these women. Gives them names, gives them some backgrounds, and recognizes how many of them are there following Jesus and helping in that situation. Interesting that Luke would bring this up. So Theophilus, the person who received this letter, would know that it's not just 12 guys that are hanging out with Jesus, but there are women that are following Jesus and helping in his ministry. Now, again, we know the Pharisees' concept of women. We know that the church was taught something completely different. When Paul would tell them that there's no male, no female, no Jew, no Gentile, no Greek, no barbarian, but they're all one in Jesus. The kind of thing that we like to think about when we think about our country. This amazing melting pot that there are not just Irish Americans, there are not Latin Americans, there are not Scandinavian, just Scandinavian Americans. We're Americans, okay? So this being one, and we're going to talk about that when we get to talk about the Lord's Supper, but it's interesting that Luke brings that up here. So in this chapter, he goes on and tells the first parable. He says in verse 4, he says, while a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so a parable. It's got that word para. It means alongside, right? So it's a story that they can relate to, something that they see, something they know, something they understand, everyday life, but there's a meaning that goes alongside of it, a parable. And he tells this one is just a farmer parable, something they've seen all the time. Now, this is not our farmer type of parable. This is a whole world different. This has to do with broadcasting, how they would just go out and throw their seeds. That's where we get the word broadcast, right? And it fell where it fell, and it produced what it produced. And that was a nice little story, right? And that's what he told the crowds. The crowds were coming out to him to be healed. He told them this story. And then he tells the disciples why he teaches in parables. And we need to hear this. Because it says, he says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. That's a quote that's directly out of Isaiah. He says, why do you teach in parables? Well, because you're going to know the secrets of the kingdom, what it means to have God as king. But everybody else, they're going to hear stories. What they do with those stories is up to them. They can say that they see, but they may not be seeing. They can say that they hear, but they may not be hearing and understanding. And then Jesus explains the parable of the sower. Now, why is it that he wants some people not to understand what it means to have God as king? Remember what we've been talking about in the book of Luke? The enemies that Jesus has made. Remember, they're there nitpicking at everything he says, everything he does, everywhere he goes, the people he talks to, the people he doesn't talk to, right? And they're in these crowds. He said, I'll teach them. But they may not get what I'm meaning. Because if he was real straightforward with it, guess what would happen? They would use that against him, right? But he wants his disciples, he wants the apostles, he wants those who follow him to understand. So when they don't understand a parable, he explains it to them. And so he explains this parable. He says, verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they cannot believe and be saved. Now, you guys, some of you come to my Bible study, you know, we do this parable and we talk about what makes people's heart hard. You know, we talk about the fact that a path, it doesn't take too many people walking on the same piece of ground to make a path, and then nothing will grow there. That's a nice thing to talk about, because sin does make people's hearts hard. But that's not what this parable is about. This parable is about the fact that the good news of the kingdom has been thrown out there. Who's responsible for what it produces? The person who receives it, their heart. And how do you explain that some people it doesn't penetrate at all? It just doesn't make any difference at all. It doesn't even touch their heartstrings. It's because he said their heart has gotten really, really hard. It's like a path. And nothing's going to grow. Well, then you should be careful, right? You should be careful not to throw the seed on there. That's a waste of the seed, right? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying you take the message and you just throw it out there. And the apostles needed to hear this. The disciples needed to hear. We need to hear this. It's not up to us to say, oh, We're only going to talk to people like this. No, we're supposed to take it and just throw it out there. Have you ever talked to somebody who said, you know, I'm going to invite my neighbor to church. He'd be a good Christian. That's nice. Have you ever met somebody be a bad Christian? I mean, who are we to say this person deserves to hear the good news of the kingdom? This person deserves to hear about Jesus, and therefore, I'll just talk to them. And that other person, I don't think they'd respond. I'm not sure that we'd want them at our church. So, no. No, you just take the message and you throw it out there. And he says, some people, they're not going to respond at all. And guess what? Jesus' message, some people didn't respond at all. Some people decided he needed to die. Did that stop him from throwing it out there? Well, he modified how he threw it out. He started doing it in parables to buy himself some more time before they did what they were going to do. He said, but there's another type of soil. He says that those on the rock are the ones who receive the word of God with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Yeah, the good news about Jesus, that is so cool, and they're very excited to be at the very beginning, but then things get hard and things don't go well, or somebody gets sick in their family, or they get sick, or they drop a piece of glass on themselves or something stupid like that, or, you know, okay? And there's trials going on, and then what do? Well, they take their eyes off of Jesus, and he's no longer king, and they fall away. It looked good for a while. Have you ever seen somebody who received Jesus like that? They were so excited, and a year later they're gone? So we shouldn't talk to them, right? We shouldn't waste the seed on that kind of soil. No. That's not what this parable is saying. The parable is saying you just throw it out there. You throw it out there. And then there's another type of soil. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Boy, you could talk all day about what it's like to get choked on life's worries, riches, and pleasures, right? These are the people that they receive the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus is God, that he wants to be king of their life, but it just doesn't produce anything because other things are going on, worries, riches, concerns of the world. And they just don't produce anything. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. It just doesn't show up because it's getting choked out. So we should not bother spending time talking to these people about Jesus. No, that's not what this parable is saying. You just throw it out there. You throw it out there. And then he says there's good soil. He says the seed on good soil stands for those who with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Wow. Yeah, it gets down below the hard pan. It sinks in, has roots. It doesn't get choked out by concerns and worries, and it produces some things. Yeah. That's the only soil that we should be looking for, right? No. The point of this parable is you just throw it out there. Now, people who are dealing with worries and concerns and stuff like that, can God help them? Oh, yeah. People who are hard. Yeah. Can God help them? Yeah. But God can do that. We can't. We're just supposed to throw it out there. The good news of the kingdom. And then he tells another parable right on the heels of that. A very short one that you probably sang about when you were a kid. In verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. You probably heard the bushel. Light of the bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Remember this little light of mine? Okay, I'm not going to hurt you guys anymore by singing. Okay. All right, unless you start to go to sleep, and then I will sing the rest of that song. Okay. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. What's this parable about? What do you do with the good news of Jesus? You just let it shine. Yeah, the same as you throw it out there. You don't get picky about who it shines on or what they say about it. You just let it shine. This is really important for his disciples. Because they, like us, would try to be picky about who they wanted to tell about Jesus. And you know what they would look like? It would look like them. They would have their skin color, their same socioeconomic standing, speak the same language. Yeah. Now, do you remember? You remember Paul is in prison at the end of the book of Acts. And Luke is explaining to Theophilus why this guy named Paul is in prison. And to do it, he has to explain Jesus. And you know what Paul's in prison for? You know what they've accused him of? Bringing Gentiles into the temple. Preaching to all nations and not making them become Jewish. That is what Paul is waiting trial about. And this goes back to the teaching of Jesus. What do you do with the good news about Jesus? Do you get picky about who you share it with? What countries? What races? What stratas of society and economics? Or do you just throw it out there? Do you get picky about who comes in the back door? Or do you just greet them in the name of Jesus and say, hey, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus. How about your own life? What do you talk about? Do you have that message that's good news? The message of the kingdom? That Jesus loves us so much that he came and died for me and for you and for everybody, everybody. And we're going to make sure that they know. You know, we've done a lot of work trying to remember to pray for our global ministry partners, people who are preaching and ministering in other parts of the world that we don't even understand. We don't understand the language. We don't understand the culture. We don't understand what it means, what it looks like for them to become believers and gather together. We don't understand, but we are praying for them because the message needs to go out, and it will produce unless the message doesn't go out. Now, Jesus has just spoken in two parables because he has people who are trying to do him harm. And he explains those parables to the people who want to hear. We can misuse those parables. We will be responsible for misusing those parables. The truth is, we have enemies. Do we love them the way that Jesus asked us to love them? Are we reluctant to throw the good news out and let it produce what it can produce? As disciples of Jesus, we come. We come and we come from all kinds of different backgrounds. And we don't ask that everybody looks the same, believes the same, sings the same. We don't ask that. We ask that if you believe Jesus is Lord, then you try to encourage the person sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you to keep your eyes on Jesus so we can get that message out. And the center of all that we do is right here. This is what unifies us. Not because we take the same kind of juice as everybody else, or we take the same kind of bread as everybody else. Matter of fact, we change the juices sometimes. And we change, you know, okay. The truth is, it's the memory. It is understanding that if you believe Jesus is Lord, there's one bread, one body, and all of us who are many become one in Jesus. And because somebody taught us the good news. Somebody threw that seed out there. Somebody let that light shine. Somebody patiently explained things. We know what it means to come to Jesus. Before we take the Lord's Supper today, we're going to listen to, actually it's a long song, One Lord, One Bread, One Body.